In our last broadcast, we spoke about handling the coronavirus at home. That was a fortnight ago, and the issue has become ever more acute. So today, I would like to offer part two. These are unprecedented situations, and without doubt, our children will never forget the experience. But above all, we want them to look back and remember how we as a family handled it. Will they review it with admiration and respect, or with a sense of gloom? It is a truth that within every crisis is an opportunity. And this crisis presents us as parents with a singular opportunity to role model behaviour. This is particularly true with reference to our teenagers, who are exquisitely attuned to the world around them and will have indelible memories of this period of time. So I'd like to focus on role modelling in six different ways. Number one, panic versus calm. As we mentioned in our last broadcast, we have to do our very best to remain grounded despite the panic that surrounds us. We need to explain in clear, precise terms to our children in an age-appropriate way what is going on and how we are responding to it. However, we don't want fear to dominate. To recap, calm breeds calm and fear engenders panic. One simple step that we could take is to stop deliberating on the what-if scenarios. We have to deal with the here and now, but avoid unnecessary speculation about the unknown and the future. This will maintain an equilibrium. We can say to our children, we're following the appropriate guidelines for the moment and dealing with the situation as it is. This is what we're supposed to do, and if it changes, we'll reassess things. We also have to reinforce positivity. Let's remember that for the vast majority of people tested, do not have the virus, and for 99%, the virus itself is not dangerous. Number two, giving. It's true that the situation means that many of us have to close our doors, but we can still open our hearts. Are there others who are suffering that we could help? If we have financial security, can we extend ourselves to others that may have instability? Although the natural reaction is to give less, perhaps the appropriate reaction where we can is to give a little more. That would be a magnificent lesson to our children. Understandably, many of us have engaged in bulk buying. But if I clear this shelf, what will be left for the next person? If we have secured our own supplies, perhaps we can assist others that have not. Number three, time together. It appears that most of us will be working from home. Before too long, it may well be that our children are home too. This could either be a nightmare or an unexpected gift. It is important that we create a schedule and a routine. This may include time for exercise and work, but within that schedule, there's a unique option to share at least one family meal together a day. This will create positive memories within the overall challenging situation. Number four, resourcefulness. This is a chance to showcase resourcefulness. Is there a project within the family that can be done together? The spare room that needs a new coat of paint? The photographs on cameras and USBs that never get collected. There are many possibilities. For some families, a 1,000-piece jigsaw left in the family space could be a wonderful, unifying endeavour. Perhaps different family members could take responsibility for supper for a couple of weeks. They can work to a specific budget and use creativity, both in food preparation and presentation. Number five, prayer, tefillah. Irrespective of one's level of belief, this is a time for prayer. The first lines with which we open the day can be found in every siddur. Moda ani lefanecha. Thank you, Hashem, for restoring my soul with kindness. This is an expression of the appreciation of life. So often we take life's gifts for granted until they are threatened. Whether we are a three times a year Jew or a three times a day Jew, we need to invest more in prayer. Say Shemar at night with your children. Encourage them to thank Hashem for a gift of the day and to make a request for tomorrow. When it comes to teenagers, this is more challenging, but we can still lead by personal example. And number six, patience. It is an irony that we often end up shouting at the people we love most. There is no doubt that being cooped up will strain patience, and we have to find the strength to cope. The motivating factor must be this overriding question. How do I want my children to recall this period and my handling of it? In the Shema, we talk about teaching our children when we sit in our houses, walk on the way, when we get up and when we lie down. This is the ultimate template for education. Our children watch our every action. They can see if we are real or phony, anchored or insecure. Please God, this challenging time will pass soon, but the lessons we can teach can endure lifelong.